It's a little known fact that Cheerscast is a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
For the rest of the afternoon, just keep your mouth shut. Excuse me? You're here to work, not to chit-chat with the guests. You think just because you're rich, you can boss people around? We got guys like you back in Hanover. You know what we call them? What? Sir. But after we say it, we roll our eyes. You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Hello and welcome back to Cheerscast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and joining me to discuss another hilarious episode of Cheers is returning guest and patron, AJ, from the Right On Podcast Network. Welcome back, man. How are you?
Ryan, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me back.
Thank you for coming back. As always, going to have a lot of fun, people. I mentioned this is not only a hilarious episode, but kind of an important one in the whole timeline of the show, because we're getting the introduction of what will eventually become a pretty significant character in the cast. So let's get into this one. And I previewed this last time. At the end of the last episode, you heard me say the episode we're covering right now is season 7, episode 13, Golden Boyd. However, if you've been following along with the show and you haven't skipped ahead yet, you would know, like, on streaming services like Peacock and stuff like that, and even on the digital copies, there is a mistake in the chronology. They have the next episode, I kid you not, positioned before this one. And if you watched along, you might have been confused, because we get the introduction of a new character in this one, and she comes back again in the next one. It's like, wait a minute, who is this character? What's going on here? Well, there's a little bit of confusion. So the reason, I don't know the reason, but a possible explanation for the mistake in how the streaming services have these two episodes positioned or ordered. This was posited to me by a former guest of the show, Blaine Dowler, and he thinks it might be as simple as a data entry issue or something, because the original air date for this one is Thursday, February 9th, 1989, and he thinks it might have been entered as February 19th, 1989. And if that's the case, then it would have been, the week after. It would have come after next week's episode. Maybe it was something like that. I have no idea if that's the case, but that's as good a theory as any.
Yeah, I was wondering if it was like a production code issue or something like that, but I just have this burning desire to say, Constance Fry.
We'll get to that once we talk about the country club nature of this one. So we're doing Golden Boyd. This one is written by Sherry Eakin and Bill Steinkellner, directed by James Burrows. Like I said, the original air date was February 9th, 1989. Rebecca is asked to host yet another function for the corporation, this time a tennis brunch for the daughter of one of the executives. Sam and Woody are brought on to tend bar at the party, and Woody charms the guest of honor, Kelly, while drawing the disdain and irritation of her boyfriend, Nash. Sam manages to cool them off, but Nash and Woody agree to fight the next day at Cheers. Nash comes to Cheers to fight and knocks Woody out with one punch. In the aftermath, Woody tries to think of a way to get back at Nash when Kelly comes to apologize for her boyfriend and check on Woody's well-being. She's genuinely concerned, and Woody decides to ask her on a date in order to make Nash jealous. Kelly turns him down initially, but then decides to do it to spite Nash too. After their date, Woody and Kelly return to Cheers. Nash shows up to apologize to Kelly for taking her for granted and promises to be a better boyfriend. As Kelly is about to leave, Woody tells her that he legitimately enjoyed spending time with her and wishes her the best. Sam encourages Woody to go after the girl and try to get another date if he likes her that much. Woody meets Kelly just as she was coming back to him. Kelly realized that she likes Woody more than Nash and agrees to another date. So this is the big one. We get the introduction of the character of Kelly Gaines, who, spoiler alert, will appear in 24 episodes total for the rest of the series. And she will become quite a major figure. Actually, even her father, Mr. Gaines, comes back quite a few episodes too. What did you think about this one?
The script, the direction, all of it is so airtight. I love this episode. I'm so happy to be on this one. And ever since day one, Cheers has always broached this topic. But this is hitting it right on the nose as far as this show is about class.
In a lot of ways, yeah.
Yeah. And I love it because a lot of times if you watch like old British shows, maybe even now, it's always there. You can't avoid it. It's just class is just an issue. And in this, it's like you can choose to ignore it. But in this episode, it was like, this is what it's about. It's about class. And I just thought this was so funny. Just the script was airtight. Like they went over it. I noticed this one was co-written and it just felt like it hit every beat. There was no wasted time. All the space in between was necessary.
Sherry Eakin and Bill Steinkellner were a writing duo. They eventually got married because today she's credited as Sherry Steinkellner. But they worked together and they were, I think, co-producers on the show for a number of seasons. I'll have to look that up. But yeah, they've been writing a bunch of some really solid episodes. They're not at the very top tier of Cheers writers, but they're just below it. But yeah, this one is a terrific episode. And like I said, it's an historic episode for the sake of Cheers because we introduced Kelly and we will get more into that. But yeah, from the beginning, we get a funny little teaser. Cliffy is looking through a catalog trying to find ideas for his mom's birthday gift. And the gang is making suggestions based on what they see, but he's shooting down everything as either inappropriate or something that she already has, because they mention gel-filled insoles for her shoes, a Lucite snack tray or something like a hummingbird feeder, and no, like Cliffy's not having any of it. And Norm's like, well, you might have to spend more than $1.99 if you want to get her a good gift. and Cliff, you know, he just kind of shows it off. He's like, you might be right. After all, you only turn 70 once. It's her 70th birthday, and he's shopping for like dime store gifts. And then Carla approaches and she says, you know, speaking as a mom, she thinks that the best gift for a mother's birthday is the kind of gift that the kid makes himself. For example, she has this keychain that oldest son Anthony made his first year at camp. And she mentions how thoughtful and meaningful it is and even goes on to say that this is the most precious thing that she owns. And Cliff goes, I'll give you $3 for it. And she readily, oh, it's just like,
Sam's reaction shot to the end of that beat was awesome.
It was too. Yeah, it
was, he was just kind of looking nice like, "Yeah, moment. This is my life. How else could this have gone? Yeah, this is my life."
And I think that was a cool little beat to end on with that reaction shot to Sam because we from there after the teaser we smash cut to the credits, and then right after the credits we come back immediately into that scene. Maybe this was one of those episodes where Act One was running too long, and they had to just chop off like the first 30 seconds, the first little inside as their teaser, because when we come back, like the scene is just playing out immediately after. They're still in the same outfits, same positions. And this time, Rebecca comes out of her office and tells Sam that he has to work at a party for one of the company VPs. She mentions Mr. Gaines. But this time, Rebecca, you know, she's trying to, you know, hold herself up a little bit more. She mentions she doesn't have to work it. She is a guest at the party. But she will do what any guest would do, show up early and leave late. And while she's there, she might clean up the food and park the occasional car.
So, I love this whole thing with Rebecca, like, slumming it as she's trying to move up the corporate ladder. I don't know if I've ever seen that where she's always wearing pie on her face.
Exactly. And yeah, nobody, as we've said in the recent episode, nobody can like just throw their dignity right in the trash better than Rebecca. She just doesn't even try. So, and they ask, like, you know, like, what is the occasion for this party? And she says, it's a, I had to write this one down. Welcome back from your fabulous all expense paid trip to Europe, you sniveling rat of a vice president's daughter's tennis brunch.
The
Woody's like,
delivery on that
well,
was
I,
beautiful.
and Woody's never been to one of those. And she was like, well, congratulations, you're working the party. And he's like, and he just like kind of like confidently said, or confidentially whispers to Sam, he's like, just see how she played right into my hands. Like, from there, we cut to the party. We meet the first of our guest cast, Kelly Gaines, notably played by the actress Jackie Swanson. A lot of people might remember her from the very first scene of the movie Lethal Weapon,
Oh.
which she did a little bit before this. She is the girl in the first scene who has a drug-induced suicide by jumping from the top of a building or a balcony or something.
Kind of like when Helen Hunt jumped out the window. She did some coke and some
Yeah.
80s show. She jumped out the window. Remember that? I think it was a science
Yeah.
lab, maybe.
Yeah, and this is pretty much the same thing. However, what I was happy to find out is before she did Lethal Weapon, Jackie Swanson's first actual on-screen appearance was in the music video for Prince's Raspberry Beret.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. So, and also just like kind of looking through her IMDb, she also had uncredited roles in both the movie Less Than Zero, perennial 80s movie with Robert Downey Jr. and Jamie
Yes.
Gertz and Eric Stoltz, and also the Aaron Sorkin penned Charlie Wilson's War with Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts.
Oh, I saw that one.
So yeah, I like that one. She has an uncredited role, but apparently she's in there. But yeah, and then her father, Mr. Walter Gaines, played by Richard Doyle, he appeared in Air Force One. He was in an episode of MASH. He was in Police Story. And also, this I didn't know, but he has done tons and tons of voiceover work in animation as well as video games. He was in an episode of Batman, the Animated Series, The New Batman Adventures. He was in Pinky and the Brain. But yeah, like tons of like video game stuff, including like both Star Wars and Star Trek video games. So that's pretty cool because I always think, I mean, he does have like one of those natural voices that you remember when you hear him. So,
I like going back and watching these old shows where you can see something like, oh, this is when it's starting to phase out. So this is 1989, and his character is smoking a pipe. And it's like, oh, yeah, we don't see that
yep.
often now. So, yeah, I love that.
The third notable guest actor in this one, Kelly's boyfriend Nash, is played by Tyrone Power Jr. He's like the fifth in the long line of actors named Tyrone Power. They're like just they go back from like pre-screen days to the silent film era to classic Hollywood. I think he was probably the least known of all of them. But yeah, the family was pretty famous. His first appearance, however, was in the movie Cocoon. So yeah, at the party, Kelly walks in and Rebecca goes to see Mr. Gaines and she's like, she hasn't the guest of honor yet. He's like, well, I'll introduce you. And then Kelly's just talking to her friends, like, oh, she's talking to her boyfriend. Never mind, she's busy. And it's just like, I love this recurring bit with Mr. Gaines. We'll see this a lot more, like how quickly he is to just dismiss people. So, like, in a way that doesn't sound harsh, but you kind of
No.
realize, like, yeah, he doesn't care about any of this. Sam and Woody are bartending, and the guy comes to get a drink, and he recognizes Sam from his pitching days, and actually kind of takes pity on Sam for how far he has fallen from his glory days, and gives him a really big tip. And Sam calls the guy, like after the guy leaves, Sam refers to him as a rich snob who just kind of looks down his nose, and then slips him, whoa, $50. And this is kind of one of the start of one of the aspects that you were talking about with the class issue, how demeaning Sam feels kind of being in this position where he used to be a celebrity. He used to be someone of note. He used to be the star of a party like this. And now he's forced to play the role of servant. And he's going to take advantage of that for a moment in order to get sympathy from these people and money. So.
I love when Sam's celebrity is mentioned and is done sparingly. So it's not every episode where someone's like, oh, yeah, you're Sam Malone. You used to pitch for the Red Sox. So whenever it's mentioned, it's like, oh, yeah, he would be recognized every once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because the next guy who comes up to get a drink, you know, this time, now that Sam knows, he's like, oh, yeah, my pathetic leg can actually give me some tips. He makes a show of complaining about how lousy, what a lousy hand fate dealt him. And the guy, you know, gives him another big tip and Sam's like, oh, bless you. Bless your heart. Thank you.
And that lets us know something about Sam's character where he's not fazed by this. Like, oh, yeah, this, you know, the guy recognized me and he thinks I'm slumming it. That didn't faze Sam one bit whatsoever.
And then Nash calls across the room to ask Woody for another round of champagne. Woody comes over. He starts to pour for the group. While this is happening, Nash is talking about, you know, he has the option of clerking for a judge or working as a congressional page. You know, obviously figuring out what kind of, you know, kid this guy is. And Woody excuses himself for interrupting, but he recommends the clerkship. He's like, I had the best summer. I clerked at the Piggly Wiggly. And Nash is like, I'm talking about a legal clerk. Woody's like, oh, this was all on the up and up.
Okay. Now, this is where I think I came on here and I talked about, like, hey, is Woody trolling us? And I like this Tyrone Power Jr. character because the way he played Nash, Nash was taking him at his word. So he thought, like, okay, maybe you might be Gomer, or maybe you're trolling me. And, like, if you watch this, Nash is being very careful with Woody because Woody has a retort for everything that Nash is throwing at him. So it's like, wait a minute. Are you serious right now when you're talking about being a clerk at the Piggly Wiggly? Or are you taking a dig at me? So when I was watching this, I think as a kid, I would have just gone like, yeah, you know, I'm on Team Woody and forget this guy. But now I'm kind of looking at it like, hey, you know, my girlfriend just came back from Europe. We're having this party and this guy is kind of like just throwing himself in this conversation. What's going on here?
And yeah, he even asks if Woody is like being intentionally obtuse. And Woody's like, well, the cummerbund makes my waist look thick. And everybody's joking. And he's like, yeah, thick is the word for it. He's like, well, write it on your hand. You'll never forget.
The guests, well, they're not laughing at him.
Yeah, like even though Woody is being dumb and he's not getting the, like, the context of what this guy is saying, they're clearly in two different worlds. It's like Woody is being silly. He doesn't realize that he's being sincere, and it's coming off as the joke is on Nash, and that's how Nash is taking it. Like, this guy is making fun of him, not realizing that this whole thing is over Woody's head. He doesn't realize what he's doing. But yeah, that's how. So Nash is offended by this. He's like, "What are you doing? You're making me look like an idiot in front of my friends."
Now, you did Bar Wars where Woody did a long con, a real long con. So I don't know. I think Woody got that obtuse joke and he retorted back with, yeah, this belt is pretty big on my waist. Man, I don't know. I can't prove it. And Nash is on him too. Like, I think you're doing something right now.
It's the eternal question. Is he an idiot savant or just an idiot? It's like, either way, as Nash is upset about this, Kelly is quite clearly amused and charmed by this. And she's smiling at it this whole scene. Go back to the bar. Another guy tips Sam and wishes Sam luck on his triple bypass. Sam is just flashing all of this huge wad of cash he's keeping in his pocket in front of his chest. He's like, yeah, this is what's making my heart beat like this. So Nash wants to give Woody a tip, and Woody's like, oh, yeah, this is working out, Sam. But his tip is not cash, it's advice. He's basically, shut up and don't talk to the guests. Woody, this is a runner-up for my favorite part of the episode, Woody's line here. He goes, you think because you're rich you can boss people around? He goes, we have a name for people like you back in Hanover. He's like, what's that? He goes, sir. And like the audience, like, but after we see it, we roll our eyes. And he does this huge exaggerated line.
And Nash is still like, I don't know what to do with you right now.
He does. He's like completely like out of sorts. He can't outwit this kid who doesn't get it. And the only thing he can do is just think to provoke a fight. He's like, I just got to beat this guy up. So he challenges him to a fight outside. And what he's like, oh, okay, I don't want to fight. This is out of line. And Nash is like, well, good. You're not as stupid as you look. He's like, well, now I want to fight. And he comes across the bar to fight him. And Sam has to try and break this whole thing up. And And Sam starts telling him this long monologue. He's like, I bartended for a long time and I've broken up a bunch of fights. And, you know, there's one thing I've noticed, like, it doesn't matter if it's between rich guys, poor guys, tall guys, short guys, old guys, young guys, ugly guys, the guys with, you know, thinning hair, guys with buck teeth. And he just keeps on rambling. And they're like, what is your point? Stop. Like, what is, he's like, well, the point is usually at this point in the story, the guys forget what they're mad about and they kind of wander away.
I love that.
And Woody, but Woody's like, will you tell me the rest of the story later, Sam? Nash says that they will fight later. And Woody says that you can meet him at Cheers anytime. And he's like, yeah, I'll be there. And Woody's like, I'll be there with bells on. And Nash kind of gives him a second look. He's like, that's just an expression. And then just before we close out the scene, Rebecca figures out what Sam has been doing. She's heard that he's like collecting all these huge tips with this sob story, and she reprimands Sam for telling everybody about his hard luck, and she's going to dock him a day's pay. And how does Sam respond to that?
You see how she talks to me? You see what's going on here?
Yeah, he talks to the next guy, and just this is just going to add more to the story about how hard up he is and how he's going to get more of a tip. Yeah.
Because the tips he's getting at this shindig is worth more than a day's pay at Cheers under the Rebecca regime.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Yeah. Then we go back to the bar. Frasier wants to buy a round for his friends because he just became the recipient of the Fisk Foundation grant. And Norm is like, I knew you could do it, buddy. What the hell is it? And Frasier's talking about it. It's, you know, his treatise on man's need to work. And he gets like, describes like this whole thesis about man needing to achieve and create something. And the best part is if he can cop one more grant, then it's Loaf City. And yeah, he gets a glass of cognac for himself and for Norman Cliff. And then after that, after he takes a drink, he wants to polish that up with a fine cigar. And Norm orders three of Cheers' best cigars, which, according to Carla, come to a total of 45 cents. Then Nash comes into the bar, and he's ready for the fight with Woody, but he warns him that he was on the boxing team at Princeton. And Woody's like, well, you know what? I was first alternate on the Hanover High boxing squad. So what does that mean? He's like, well, somebody was sick or couldn't do it, then I would stay. He's like, I understand what first alternate means, but he's like, is that supposed to mean you're tough or something? He's like, I'm tough enough. So they go outside, they're moving outside, they're going to fight, and the crowd is chanting, Woody, Woody, Woody. And Carla stops them. She's like, hey, I can't leave. You have to go fight. You have to stay in the bar to fight. Take it to the pool room. But she mentioned, you have to bust your own blood. So the combatants go into the pool room with the whole bar crowd cheering, chanting after them, Woody, 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 as the camera stays in the main part of the bar with us. And we just hear one punch and then the crowd chanting, rich guy, rich guy, rich guy, as Nash walks out, buttoning his shirt sleeve. So
Nash must have been really cross because, I mean, it's the next day. He didn't cool off. He's gone to the other part of town. He was really upset about this Woody thing.
I have a feeling that Kelly mentioned Woody once or twice.
Gotcha.
After the party was over, just knowing what she does next, and she said he was funny, like, especially like if Nash like talked about, you know, like their the whole thing about how they were going to fight and everything, you know, I bet Kelly said something that just drove the dagger in a little bit deeper into Nash, and he's like, Oh, this guy actually charmed my girlfriend. I'm going to kick the crap out of him.
And I'm going to add to that, going back to Bar Wars, where Woody was like, hey, I'm going to stage this fight and do this blow up. I quit in the Cheers. Then I'm going to go over to the competition, work for them for a bit just to get their secret. That long game that Woody Boy did, I think he took the fall in this one punch fight against Nash.
That's quite the thespian of Woody. If he was going to these lengths, that's a real long con. So, when we come back after the commercial, Woody is at the chair. He's coming around, like getting like icing his face or something. And he's like, "Did I get struck by lightning?" And they're like, "No, Woody, you didn't." He goes, "Oh, right. I guess that only happens once in your life."
And the reaction shots were, "You've never been struck by lightning." Like, look at them. They're like, "We no." No, we're not even going to buy that.
Yeah. They're just like, well, it would explain a few things. And Woody wants to save his honor by getting back at Nash somehow. And Norm's like, isn't it enough that you left little bits of face in his pinky ring? Yeah. Which seems like an innocuous line, except that line comes back later on, which I love. So, you know, and Sammy is like, forget about Nash. The guy, you can't beat him. The guy's rich. He's good looking. He hangs out with a better class of people. And Norm and Cliff take offense to this. They're like, hey. And Sammy's like, come on, you guys know what I mean. And they're like, oh, yeah. Wait, hey.
Yeah, we know what you mean. That's why we're saying hey.
Yeah. And then Kelly comes in, and she comes in, and she bumps up and bumps to Carla right by the door, and she goes, I heard my boyfriend was coming to fight that nice bartender. And Carla's like, fight? I've had a sneeze that lasted longer.
Carla.
Yeah. So Kelly apologizes for Nash's temper, and she takes Woody's hand to make sure that he's okay, and he just asks if her hands are always that soft or if she uses a special lotion. And she uses a lotion, but you can't find it in the States. And he's like, well, it smells nice. And she's like, no, it's odor free, but she washes her hair in essence of Belgian wildflowers. And Woody asks if there's a boy's version of that. And she's like, yeah, I'll have my personal shopper get you some. She's like, yeah, it'd be a shame if, you know, Woody got a scar on that cute face. And then, speaking of reaction shots, they cut back to Sam and Carla, and they both look at each other like, this girl, you know, the fact that she came here to check on Woody and now called him a cute face, like, there's something going on here.
She's doing more than a little.
But Woody doesn't get it, at least not right away. Because once Kelly leaves, he's like, all right, how can I get back at Nash? He's still thinking. And Sam goes, Woody, isn't it obvious? And he kind of motions to Kelly as she's walking up the stairs. And Woody looks at her, he's like, beat up his girlfriend?
That was a wild joke. I don't think you could.
That was Carla's line, yes. Carla's like, I don't think you could. Yeah, and I mean, we'll get more into it, but like this first, like we saw her in the other scene, but the scene at the party was really about Nash and Woody. But this scene is where we really first get to meet Kelly and kind of see their vibe and how Woody and Kelly interact. And I think this scene is just awesome. Like they just like instant connection, instant flirtation. And you know, Woody's been around since season 4. And right away, like his second episode, we met his old girlfriend from Indiana, Beth, and she came up a couple times, but then they broke up. And he's had flirtations, he's had a few little dates and everything, but he hasn't had a significant subplot of a love story or something like that. That could be so. It's really about time that they finally gave him a girlfriend character that they can actually develop, and. They just, Cheers does this all the time. They just nailed the casting because Jackie Swanson is so fantastic in this part. She's so sweet. She looks very much of the time. She's just got this pure kind of innocent, very young face, but it works so well with Woody's kind of boyishness. She, you know, like the hair, the style of dress and everything. It's very much of the late 80s on the cusp of early 90s and everything like that. And the way they balance off each other, like I see this and I was like, yeah, don't let this girl be a one-off character. Don't let her get away. Bring her back. And it's just a setup for where we go with these two characters from here. But I think this scene in just as short as it is, it's really, really cool to see how they connecting already.
It's so sweet, and you just want to protect it at all costs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then Rebecca comes in, and she said it's been a great day for her. Everyone down at corporate headquarters was complimenting her party. Mr. Gaines said that she displayed leadership in class. And Woody's like, hey, can I have a couple of hours off? And she's like, absolutely. It's one of those things where your boss is in a good mood. You can ask anything. And she's like, absolutely, take 2 hours off. You're fine. Do whatever you got to do. As she's going into the office, and he's like, thanks. I'm going to go ask your boss's permission to date his daughter. And he starts heading for the store. So she's like, okay. And she closes the office door. And then it opens. She comes running, sprinting out, shouting, no! And she tackles him at the stairs.
Yeah, she's like, you're not going to mess this up with me with your Woody-isms. I loved it.
And my favorite part is after the next commercial, they pick up and it's back at the house and Woody has gone there. So they're advancing the scene, obviously, but they're continuing the joke from the previous one, because now Woody is reading aloud a prepared disclaimer to Mr. Gaines that his being there in no way represents Miss Howe or her job or her chances for advancement at the company. I just love that Rebecca actually had to write out a statement for him to read when he got there. She's like, okay, you can ask, but make sure this doesn't come back to me.
And the dad was, you know, good natured about it. Like, this is amusing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, he becomes like a favorite recurring character because this is just his whole attitude. Like, he can't be that's the thing. He suffers the people of Cheers kind of in a similar, like, Evan Drake, the character played by Tom Skerritt back in season 6, mm-hmm. had kind of a different flair. But when we see Mr. Gaines, it's like, he's willing to give these people enough attention just because it amuses them. Like, the problems of these little peons and these, like, poor little people who have to work for a living, they might actually amuse him, or he might get a chuckle out of them, but he never has to think about them again or lift a finger to care for them at all. So it's just kind of like, it's like, sure, kid, ask my daughter out. Like, whatever. And he's like, see how far that gets you. And Woody, because he does it, Woody says, you'll find that I'm generous, I'm hardworking, and I'm cheerful, and I'm honest. And Mr. Gaines starts to kind of laugh at him. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm funny too. So. And I think it, like, Mr. Gaines says one thing that he's like, this is, you know, he's like, this is generally a class act that you asked my, you know, you request my blessing about this. He's like, but it's a moot point because Kelly is dating Nash. And this is when the kids come in, and Nash is like, how's your chin, Woody? And getting back to Norm's line in the previous scene, Woody's like, never mind my chin, how's your ring? It's like,
and Nash is just like, I can't land a proverbial punch on this guy.
That's the thing. He's like, none of my wit, none of my education, nothing actually phases this idiot. The only thing I can do is beat him up.
Mm-hmm.
But again, when they mention that, you know, Woody came here to ask Kelly out, we see her reaction, the look on her face is genuine interest and flattery. And then Gaines calls Nash off to, you know, they're going to go play golf. And Nash is like, I got to let your dad beat me. So they wander off. Woody, you know, he says he wants to hear directly from Kelly. He's like, I got your dad's answer, I got Nash's answer, but what do you say? And at first, Kelly's like, I can't do it. And he's like, fine. But then she changes her mind. She's like, you know, I'm not Nash's property, and he treats me like I am. So screw that. She goes, beans, this will show him. I love that line. That's like as much as she can come to a curse.
It's so sweet. It's like they're in first grade together.
Exactly. It's adorable. It's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
So Woody, you know, he's really excited. He's like, I'll show you that I'm not some unsophisticated bumpkin. And he goes to leave, and he walks through the door and closes it behind him. And she's like, Woody, do you know you're in the closet? And he pops it out. He's like, yeah, I know, but it would be unsophisticated if I came out now. I'll just wait till everyone goes to sleep.
And I love that, because she says goodnight, Woody, and walks off to allow him to have his dignity.
Exactly.
And this show is so layered. It's layered with the jokes. You know, they'll do highbrow, they'll do slapstick. And now we have this thing of the two of them being rated G, while we can go to another scene and it's going to be raunchy. So all these layers have been changed.
Yeah. And so good. So, we go back. It's, you know, the next night at the bar, and now Rebecca has completely changed her tune. She's changing the schedule to give Woody more opportunities to date Kelly. She wants to make it easy for him so that they can fall in love and get married, and Woody will become a vice president, and that will be her through into getting promoted and getting out of Cheers and helping her advance. Again, throw any kind of dignity away. She's just, you know, it's all about climbing that ladder for her. So again, it's the class issue.
It was almost like she was a parent.
Woody and Kelly come back from their date, and she's like, you introduced me to so much and so many new things. And he's like, it's hard to believe a girl like you has never been to a monster truck and tractor pull. But, you know, how are you going to top that? You know, when he goes to the bar and the guys are asking how he's going to top that, he sees no need to think about a second date, since this was just a revenge date on both sides. You know, he was doing it to tick off her boyfriend, and he told her that, and she was doing it to tick off her boyfriend because she told him that. And then at this point, the boyfriend in question, Nash, comes to find them, and he wants to apologize to her. He knows that she couldn't have been dating Woody just for her own enjoyment. Obviously, she was trying to prove a point to him. So, you know, he is now humbled, and he gets the point, and he's like, no offense, Woody. And Woody's like, that's okay, I didn't understand what you were talking about. And Kelly accepts his apology, and then he asks her out to a late dinner or something like that. And she asks Woody if their date is over, and he's like, yeah, I guess so. We did what we were going to do. And then as she's leaving, he calls out to her, and she stops, and she's like, do you have something you want to say to me? And he's like, it was nice meeting you. I had a great – no, he goes – she asks if he has something to say, and he's like, no. And then he kind of like swallows his water. He's like, well, it was nice meeting you. I had a great time. I you know, really happy to get to know you. Well, I guess I did have something to say. And again, just like this very, very sweet, very wholesome. And I think it's just like she's never been talked to like this way by Nash. Like the fact that, you know, he's just like there's just this earnestness about him that is compassion and thinking about her feelings maybe for the first time in a way that she's never been treated by Nash or by her dad even. And then Sam tells Woody to go get her before it's too late. And Woody's like, you know, the rich girl doesn't date the guy like him in the real world. And Sam is like, you gotta take a chance. He's like, if it doesn't work out, I'll buy you dinner. And then as Woody is running to the door, Kelly, you know, is coming back, and they pass each other. He's like, oh, sorry. And then he kind of comes back, and Woody asks her out, and she agrees. And Woody says, well, it can't be tonight because I have to take Sam out. Sam just waves down. He's like, no. And Sam's like, okay, Woody's like, we can go tonight. And he's, but what about Nash? And she goes that she realized she didn't have much fun with Nash as she did with Woody. And I was like, well, I know what you mean, because I didn't have fun with Nash either.
I love that. I freaking love that. And I also loved, like, again, like with Rebecca and Sam, they're kind of being like his parents. They're encouraging him, you know, go for it, Woody. I like this.
So yeah, the episode ends with them going out to dinner again. He says he has a standing invite or a standing invitation to, or a standing table at Pizza by the Yard. It's like, he's like, if they get there early, they can sit at the Pac-Man table. And she's like, what's Pac-Man? He's like, oh, Kelly, I have so much to teach you. Cut to the credits and the producer's name. So yeah, I just a funny, funny episode. A delightful new guest character that we will see just a few more times this season, but we'll really get a chance to shine in some future episodes. So yeah, big picture overall thoughts about the end, kind of like the way the whole thing played out, or the episode in general.
I can't wait to continue to follow this podcast and see more of this new relationship. And again, just with the just adding layers and texture to the writing with the Nash character, he could have been an easy person to hate. And like, even at the end when he came in, I'm not saying he read this out of a textbook or anything, but he came in, he apologized to Kelly. He said that, you know, he was out of line and that he was humbled by the experience. He looked at Woody and said, no offense. So that did seem genuine, because it made the character a little bit more sympathetic. But Kelly wants to break that that generational, you know, habit or whatever. Right. So.
And yeah, even as the antagonist, Nash was kind of funny in his own right, in as much as like he served as the vessel for Woody's best jokes and stuff like that. So, Mr. Gaines, who again we will see not as often as Kelly, but we'll see him, I think, less than 10 episodes, but close to 10 episodes, and he's a funny character too. But yeah, just they needed a great actress to play this part to be the worthy like girlfriend of Woody going forward, and Jackie Swanson is amazing. So yeah, a very, very fun episode. Norm had 3 beers this episode, which brings him up to 642 for the series so far. Who was your employee of the week?
Okay. I love the way that Sam in the bar was being the bartender. Yeah. You know, now that this is becoming more of an ensemble cast, I liked his demeanor and how he was avuncular with Woody. But yeah, I'm going to go with Woody Boyd on this one. Employee of the month. of the week.
It's a Woody episode. He nails it. He shines so much. I did have Kelly as a runner. I love it when they give the guest characters like something special, something to do, and she's just so memorable. But there's a lot more of Kelly to come, and we'll get some good stuff from her. So I had to give it to Woody because he's so good in this one. So, for the home run, for me, the best gag, we mentioned it, is when he's like, how can I get back at Nash? And Sam is like, isn't it obvious? And he points to Kelly and Woody's like, beat up his girlfriend?
No, Woody, that's not what I'm talking about.
What was your favorite part, or your home run for the jokes?
We said a lot of them, so I'm going to use this one. Attack of the Screaming Boss Lady from Hell.
That was my runner-up, too. Just the shot of her running out of the office screaming and bringing him down at the stairs.
The late Richard Lewis said he coined the phrase, like, the wedding from hell, the in-laws from hell. I'll get to him.
Oh, well, AJ, thank you so much for being my guest on this episode. As always, great to talk to you. And where else can our listeners hear from you until the next time?
Hey, you can hear me over at the Right On Network, where we talk about The Huntress, Batman and the Outsiders in the 80s. We do Friends and Seinfeld and Doctor Who. So, yeah, Right On Network. And you can find a lot of our lovely podcasts and programming there. And Ryan, I just love coming on this Cheerscast. And I have to say, this Golden Boyd, this is my favorite episode of the series thus far.
Nice.
Writing, direction, execution, all of it.
Happy then that we got a chance to talk about this one together, because this was tons of fun. Until next season, hopefully I can top it next season.
Yeah.
And thanks to you, and thanks to all of you out there who listen to Cheerscast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website, fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. Cheerscast is supported by the Right On Network, and Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FW Podcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and until next time.
Wait a minute. I heard your dad's answer, and I heard Nash's answer, but I still haven't heard your answer yet.
Oh, gosh, Woody, I couldn't.
I understand.
Wait a minute. Why not? I'm not Nash's property, and I just hate it when he always assumes that I am. Well, beans, this'll show him.